Please stay tuned in just a moment for the Mind Body Health Show with Dr. Marvin Trotter. And you know what today? Support for Mind Body Health comes from our members. That's all of you out there. There's going to be a pledge drive coming up sometime. And if you listen to this show regularly, I just hope you will feel a great thanks from everybody who also participates with this radio station because it's fantastic. And if you haven't supported this station before, consider becoming a member. You can call at any time down to the office at 895-2324 and sign up. Doesn't need to be a pledge drive. It's a community that keeps going. With that, it's Mind Body Health. Hello, Dr. Marvin Trotter.
Good morning, Cobb. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, peachy. We're going to have a interesting political show today. I'm interested in Measure C, and I also would like to talk a little bit about Measure A over in Ukiah, but we're fortunate to have a very articulate, informed gentleman, Dr. Miller, William Miller from Fort Bragg, to tell us all about Measure C and the importance of this for hospital care on the coast. So, Dr. Miller, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, William, tell us how you got to Mendocino County.
Well, I started off in San Francisco. I've been there for about 18 years, and I've been coming up here to Mendocino for kayaking and mushroom festival, things like that, for many years. And about 3 years ago, my husband and I decided that we wanted to relocate to a smaller community than the Bay Area. The traffic and whatnot down there is getting pretty intense. And so we bought a house here in Little River, and I moved to Mendocino Coast District Hospital, where I've been working as a hospitalist for the last 2.5 years.
And your medical training is as a...
My background is internal medicine. I did my medical school and residency at the University of Arizona in Tucson. And then I actually did a fellowship in hematology and oncology, but decided not to practice that. So I do internal medicine, hospitalist work. I was in private practice as an internist for about 5 years in a small community in northern Arizona before I moved to San Francisco.
So, Cobb, I want you to know that you have two internal medicine doctors on the radio show with you, and that probably won't happen ever again.
Well, but anyway. A little bit of an inside joke.
Yes. And if you have any questions about your white blood cells, he's the guy.
Oh, neat.
But we both have worked as hospitalists. So near and dear in my heart is the hospital situation in Mendocino County. And I was, so we're going to talk about Measure C principally. Why don't you tell everybody what Measure C is for the coast?
First of all, I'd like to point out that there's probably some confusion when we use the term Measure C, because the previous Measure C had to do with the parcel tax for the hospital, and this is a new Measure C, which has nothing to do with the parcel tax whatsoever.
Okay, so that was an old Measure C.
Correct. And unfortunately, the county has assigned it the same letter again. This is a new measure which will be on the ballot on March 3rd, and many of you who have mail-in ballots will probably be receiving your ballots soon. And this measure is to allow the district, the hospital district, to enter into an affiliation with Adventist Health. Adventist Health will be leasing the hospital, the hospital's clinics, the ambulance service, and home health for 30 years. It's a 30-year lease.
So they're not buying the property.
That is correct. The community, through the district, will continue to own all of those assets.
Good. Okay.
And then Adventist Health will pay a lease payment to the district, and the amount of that lease payment is determined by fair market value analysis.
Okay. So the important thing for people to understand is that the Adventists aren't buying the hospital. The district still exists. It's the Coast's facilities.
Correct.
But they're the management team, so to speak.
Correct. And the district board will continue to exist. It will. Its role in the management of the hospital will change. It will be that of leaser, owner, but not managing anymore. And under the new structure, there will be a new board formed, which will also be a community board, but it will not be an elected board. It will be an appointed board.
Correct. We have one of those at Avenist Ukiah. One important thing was when I was the chief medical officer in Ukiah, and this was all being discussed, an important thing was that Fort Bragg put out a proposal, RFP, to several different hospitals. Could you talk about that, or why did we come to now an Adventist?
Yes, so because of the challenging financial situation of the hospital, the district board directed our CEO, Wayne Allen, back in April, to put out a request for proposal to different hospital systems in Northern California. And there were five that went out. One was to Sutter Health. One was to Catholic Healthcare West, which is now called Dignity. Another one was to St. Joseph's, another Catholic-based system. Adventist Health. And then the fifth was to a smaller group that's a more of a venture capitalist group that was operating. And of those five, we got polite no's from Sutter, Dignity, and St. Joe's. And we got a response from the venture capitalist group and Adventist Health. The venture capitalist group, that proposal was not very robust and was eliminated fairly quickly. And we've been in discussion with Adventist Health ever since.
So I think it's important for people to understand that this isn't something that you've come upon lightly, and that the situation for small rural hospitals in the United States, California, is pretty dismal. Could you discuss the condition of the state, so to speak, for small rural independent hospitals?
Thank you for bringing up that important topic. I think there's a lot of misconception out there. I think that people feel like, well, we're in this situation financially because of mismanagement, or if we were just able to bill better and collect better, somehow that would solve the problem. And those two are not the cause of this dilemma that we have. What it is that we work in a broken healthcare system nationally. The cost of doing business in healthcare is steadily rising, while at the same time the reimbursement is steadily declining. And that's a bad combination for obvious reasons. Nationally, over 100 hospitals, small rural hospitals, have closed in the last decade. And there was a recent study that came out from the University of North Carolina that says that over 400 are at risk. Of those 100 that closed, almost 10 were here in California, and we are certainly on that list of 436 which are at risk for closing. And in that situation, you don't have a whole lot of options as a small rural facility, but the best option that you have is to affiliate with a larger system, and that's what we've been pursuing. It doesn't have to be Adventist Health. It's just that Adventist Health is the only one knocking at the door right now, and they have some real solid reasons why they're interested in affiliating with us. And I think that that makes for a good relationship.
Well, Adventist, okay.
Can I interrupt? I just want to interrupt with a question about more or less the mechanics of how this works. Why is it a measure on the ballot? What's the
good
like
point.
The coast, the voter district that governs the healthcare system out there?
So back in the, I believe it was in the 50s when the United States was feeling its oats and we were doing really well financially across the country, there were a number of measures that are not measures, but a number of movements out there, one of which was the idea that every small town ought to have its own hospital. And so legislation was passed at the federal level, which really facilitated that. And a number of these districts were formed, and our district was formed, I don't know when our district was formed, but it was as a result of that kind of legislation. This district, this healthcare district, is no different than, say, a water district or a fire district, where a group of people get together in a community and pool the resources and say, we're going to have this thing. And the people in that district then own it. So as a result, these assets, the hospital, clinic, etc., are owned by the community. And under the laws that dictate how that then works, the district board cannot lease or sell any of those assets without the permission of the community. And so it has to go to a vote.
Makes sense to me. That's an interesting little history lesson.
The vote, by the way, is a 50% plus one vote. It's not like the Measure C of a couple years ago, which was a tax vote, and that was a two-thirds majority requirement. This vote requires 50% plus one.
And what does that district encompass out there?
I'm not 100% sure where the boundaries are, but I believe it goes all the way down to Gualala. Mm-hmm. And then north past Fort Bragg, mm-hmm. and then inland a ways to Comche Ukiah.
And does that affect billing for the hospital as far as those districts go, and like whether you live in the district or not and you go to that hospital for care versus other places?
No, the bill that a person receives is not based on their ability to pay or the location that they're in.
Right.
Now, having said that about ability to pay, of course, all not-for-profit hospitals have programs that a person can enroll in to have assistance. But we're not allowed to, there's a federal requirement that hospitals must bill everybody the same amount up front.
Right. And then the board of directors for that district is elected also?
Correct.
Got it.
It's nice. A five-member board.
The big problem here that people don't may not appreciate, I'm sure there's people that say, oh, I don't want this different management team or this or that, but small hospitals are in big trouble. And the reason is that you look at the 800-pound gorilla Kaiser. Well, you have to be employed to be a Kaiser for the most part, 80 or 90% of their patients. And the companies are putting up the money. 80%, at least I would say that's a good figure, 80% of the patients that we see in Mendocino County are Medicare or Medi-Cal. And the Medi-Cal portion is shrinking because of Trump's effort to dampen down Obamacare. And it is very hard to run a hospital when you're getting paid by Medicare and Medi-Cal principally. This isn't, you know, some spiffy hospital in Hillsborough in Northern California. Making hospitals work in small rural areas is a difficult situation, no matter who's running them.
Right. And I think that brings us back to where you were just at, Dr. Miller. You were talking about why Adventist Health was interested in this and why they were the only ones seeming to be knocking at the door.
There are several reasons why Adventist Health would be very interested in this affiliation. Some of them are a little bit complex to explain, but basically hitting on them. First of all, there are three hospitals in Mendocino County, ours and Howard Hospital in Ukiah, Willits, and the Ukiah facility. Ukiah and Willits are both already Adventist Health facilities, so for them to have all three in the county would be very helpful for them in terms of the logistics and coordination of care. Now, some people may immediately say, oh, well, that creates a monopoly. And that, of course, is for somebody else to try to figure out and decide. But the reality is that currently we share a lot of patients. When we have patients that need procedures that we don't do here on the coast, we send them to Ukiah or Willits for orthopedic surgery, for example. When that patient finishes having their surgery, then we bring them back to our facility for rehabilitation. So already there is quite a bit of sharing of patients, and it would be really helpful from a medical perspective to have more coordination of that care. And so that's one thing. Another thing is that Adventist Health already does have a clinic in Fort Bragg and is contracted with the state for a certain number of capitated lives. And this is where it gets a little complicated, but this is that Medi-Cal thing. And basically, if I can make it very succinct, Medi-Cal pays a certain amount of money, and then out of that money, Adventist Health or whomever has to supply the health care. And it would be much better for them if they had more control over how the resources are being applied. And so that's kind of a short answer.
So it's advantageous for Adventist Health because they've already been here, they're already here, and their infrastructure's in place.
Yes.
So they can make it work, is what it sounds
also,
like.
Also, another thing, and this, people may have a hard time accepting this, but I have found Adventist Health to be very altruistic. And their mission really is to take care of the community. And I've seen many examples of that. I've never worked for Adventist Health or in an Adventist Health system before, but I've talked to a lot of people over the last year, and I am convinced that when they say they're altruistic, they really are. And they really feel that it is very important for the health care here on the coast to be viable and strong. And they seem to be really committed towards that, which, once again, makes me all the more interested in affiliating with them.
Can I ask one more question, just to clarify? It sounds like what led up to this major happening was the healthcare district on the coast put out a request for proposal.
Correct.
To the effect of what's in this measure.
Correct.
And the only request... The only proposal they received was from Adventist Health?
We received two. The other one was from a venture capitalist group that was not a very robust proposal, and so that was eliminated. The other three systems which we approached, Sutter, Dignity, and St. Joseph's, all said no.
Oh, got it. So this isn't the only, like, you, it sounds like you've done some background work, or the district did some background work trying to get more than just one agency.
We picked the five that we felt were, first of all, operating actively in the area. Dignity and St. Joseph's, of course, have a large presence in Santa Rosa, and as does Sutter. So we picked ones that we thought might be interested in extending their arm out here to the coast.
Right.
We didn't say, for example, we didn't approach systems that just work in L.A., for example.
Right.
That wouldn't have been useful.
Right.
But the issue that my father was a CPA, and I can't tell you that in good heart, that the Adventists aren't sticking their neck out trying to pull off this hospital in Fort Bragg. You have small rural hospitals with an enclosed area. It's 40% of the time you can't helicopter out of Fort Bragg. It's a difficult drive. This isn't an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. Adventist isn't picking this up because, oh, they're going to make a ton of money doing this. It's going to cost Adventist quite a bit of money to ensure that you have a viable hospital. They're trying to do better for Mendocino County in general, but... There's a lot of people that wouldn't think that this is the smartest thing for Adventists to do because it's going to cost them quite a bit of money to make this a viable endeavor.
And what kind of organization is Adventist? Like a private nonprofit or a for-profit business or what?
Yes, it's a private nonprofit. The principal supporter of it is the Adventist Church, but maybe you can make that more articulate sounding.
So Adventist Health, as I understand it from their website and from talking to some of their senior officers, it's a large organization. Internationally, I believe it has over 300 hospitals worldwide and some 800 clinics and nursing homes and things. Here in California, I believe that they have about 20 hospitals. And we're dealing specifically with Adventist Healthcare West, I believe is their name. And that's a regional corporation here, primarily focused on California. And I think it is important to mention that they are not owned by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, but that church is their primary sponsor. And maybe this is a good segue then to talk about some of the implications of the fact that this is a faith-based system.
Sure.
Yep. So, by the way, everybody, you're listening to Dr. William Miller, the chief of staff at Fort Bragg Mendocino Coast Hospital, and we're discussing Measure C, which is in your mailbox now for mail-in, and voting is on March 3rd.
Yes, so clearly Adventist Health is a faith-based system, just like Dignity is a Catholic-based system. There are some significant distinctions between an Adventist faith-based system and a Catholic system. Both, however, do, for example, have a restriction on surgical abortions in the facility. You're not allowed to do a surgical abortion in the facility. However, while Catholic systems also have a significant number of restrictions around contraception, Adventist Health has no such restrictions. Additionally, one area of confusion that I've heard a lot of talk about in the community is, well, what about the situation where a physician wants to counsel a patient who's pregnant about her options? Would there be restrictions, say, for counseling about the possibility of an abortion or referring that physician for an abortion? And the official answer that I received from the Adventist Health officers who are part of this negotiation is no, there would be no restrictions. They do not place any direction on the physician's relationship with the patient. So that physician or provider, nurse practitioner or PA, would be completely within their scope of practice to refer that patient to a facility for an elective abortion, if that's what the woman required or requested. Also, there is no restriction against prescribing medications, period. And though, as long as it's within the state law and standard of care, standard practice, medications can be prescribed, including medications which might terminate pregnancy, including a scenario where that is the intent. Now, I want to say here, and I always try to say this when I'm talking to folks, is I want to be respectful of the fact that not everyone agrees around abortion. It is a difficult topic, and there are plenty of people out there who feel that we should not be performing abortions, period, while there are a significant number of people who feel that it should be the woman's right to choose. And I just want to be respectful and acknowledge that there's both sides of that. So when I'm trying to answer these questions, I'm just trying to give information. But the bottom line, and I have it from Mr. Robert Beeler, who's the Vice President of Mergers and Acquisitions at Adventist Health, who has been working with us, he's made it very clear that there would be no restrictions placed on a physician. And similarly, there's also the issue of death and dying, and the prescribing of a medication to help lead to the end of a person's life through the California Death with Dignity Act. And the same response with respect to abortion applies here for death with dignity, that the physician or provider has a relationship with the patient, and Adventist Health does not put any restrictions on that relationship.
One thing I want to point out is I work at Adventist Health in Ukiah and have been there 30 years. I just quit working in the ER New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. But I have to agree with Dr. Miller. In 30 years, I've never heard of any interference between the hospital and the doctor's relationship. No, they do not do what we call TABS, therapeutic abortions, in, you know, as an elective procedure. People have, you know, procedures that are necessary, life-threatening, et cetera, all the time. But other than that, I've never had anybody chastise me or say, you can't do that, or this isn't what's best. It's left up to the patient and the physician. And so I really think, as far as the, you know, issue of abortions, it isn't, you know, an issue that I've ever seen in 30 years.
So I have a question to that. With Coast Hospital, such as it is before this lease agreement, were any of these services being conducted at Coast Hospital, or, and for that matter, what services will be changed at the hospital?
Excellent question. So first of all, taking the abortion issue, we have not done a surgical abortion at our facility, I believe, in 5 years, and the one before that was 5 years before. So my understanding from looking at the records is that we've done about 2 surgical abortions at our facility over the last 10 years. Medical abortions, however, we are doing through North Coast Family Health Center. And that service, my understanding from talking once again to this Vice President of mergers and acquisitions in Venice Health will continue. We have, of course, very strict policies around that. It's not just a willy-nilly thing that is being handed out. You know, there's a way that has to be done, and we follow the laws that are around that. So that is the case, and will continue. With respect to death with dignity, once again, just like with the other issue, this is an issue that people have strong feelings about, and I want to be respectful and acknowledge that not everyone agrees with the ability of a physician to prescribe a life-ending medication. And there are a number of physicians that do not agree with that and are uncomfortable doing that, but there are some physicians who do that, and we have one at, or a couple of them at North Coast Family Health Center who do prescribe this medication. There are very strict guidelines, especially around this, so I want to reassure everybody in the community that, once again, this is not an easy drug to prescribe. There are a number of hurdles that have to be jumped over in order to get this thing prescribed, and that's, of course, by law, designed to make it difficult. And so that it's only done in the most appropriate of settings, which specifically are a patient who has a terminal illness and is suffering and chooses to end their life to end suffering. So yes, that would continue as well. That the process of doing that is a little bit complicated, and so that really isn't something that's done in a hospital anyway. It's not a hospital service. It would be done as an outpatient through the clinic.
What services?
One topic, because we're going to run out of time here and want to start taking conversation telephone calls, is labor and delivery. I think that is the more contentious issue at the hospital. Willits doesn't do labor and delivery, and the Coast Hospital does, at quite a expense and deficit to the hospital. And I think that's an issue that we're going to get some calls about that I'd like you to discuss for a moment before we start taking calls.
Sure. So we're hitting all of the difficult topics right up front. So that's good. So there are about approximately 200 births that are coming out of the Coast every year, of which about 150 are currently going to either Ukiah or Santa Rosa to deliver.
And say that figure once again for people.
Approximately 200 births per year are coming off of the Coast. And of those, approximately 75% or 150 of those women who are pregnant are choosing to go, for whatever reason, are choosing to go to either Ukiah or Santa Rosa or somewhere else to have their baby. And that leaves approximately a little over 50, around 55 per year, that are delivering here at our facility. The challenge that we have is that we have to then have a fully staffed labor and delivery service in order to facilitate those 54 deliveries, or approximately one per week. And that costs us about $3.5 million a year. And the deficit of that, or the loss, is about $2.1 million per year. And that's because we have to have an obstetrician in-house, on call 24/7, pediatrician 24/7, a whole crew of labor and delivery nurses. And so the district board is currently grappling with the very difficult decision about whether or not to continue labor and delivery. And it certainly is a very emotional topic, understandably. And none of us want to lose labor and delivery. I don't want to see labor and delivery go away. Every time we lose a service at the hospital, that has an impact on all the other services, directly and indirectly. However, at the same time, I do want us to maintain a viable hospital. And financially, we are struggling. The challenge is that we do need to make some cuts. We just did a series of layoffs, for example. We are dipping into savings in order to pay bills. That's always a bad sign. And so we do need to make some very difficult decisions.
I just want to bring that up because it's a big issue. And the fact, the issue about this is that Avanis was the only one that responded that could continue with a viable small community hospital. and it's a big employer. I think the hospital would have a very difficult time making it on its own if it didn't affiliate with anybody else. That's why the board came to these conclusions. And that's, I think you said, some $24 million, 300 employee.
Yes, we are currently the largest employer on the coast. Yeah. It used to be, you know, 20 years ago that it was the lumber mill. And then the lumber mill folded. And then it was salmon and other fishing. And the fishing industry also took a serious hit for all the reasons we can debate. And that's not the bigger employer anymore. And then it was, interestingly, the illegal marijuana growing, which was under the table, infusing multiple millions of dollars. In fact, I saw a statistic that it was at one point one of the larger industries in California.
Right.
Infusing
right. Mendocino County $1 billion.
$1 billion a year into the economy. And that's gone away, paradoxically, with legalization of marijuana. So now our hospital is the largest employer. We have just under 350 employees. And we do infuse $24 million a year in terms of salaries into the economy. So if this hospital closes, the impact is not just directly on health care, but also on the economy and housing values.
But I think also having the hospital, lots of people retired to the coast. And having a hospital is crucial in having that retirement community.
Yes.
And other viabilities. I don't want to pursue that as it's a doom and gloom. I'm just saying that it's a big issue to keep the hospital viable. And even though I work for Adventist, it isn't, you know, I can easily tell you wholeheartedly that people should vote for Measure C because that's the best chance that you have to continue to have a viable hospital on the coast. And that has no, you know, I don't feel that, I feel that way regardless of my now defunct issue with working as an ER doctor.
And by the way, there are other benefits besides just the financial one that we ought to talk about at some point here. There are quite a number of benefits to affiliation.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I mean,
take calls soon.
For people who go to the hospital, what is going to change? Like, are their bills going to go up? Insurance go up? What risks? I mean, it seems clearly like there's a big risk there for a small hospital to face closure and all these difficult decisions that are being struggled with. And so here's an option that's an attempt to, if not fix, keep the hospital going in a difficult time with the broad picture. So the question I have is, how does the service change for individuals patronizing the hospital? And also, what does Adventist Health have to really gain? Because it sounds like they're on the hook for a big risk, and like, why would they
Those are several different questions.
Yeah.
So taking the first thing that you asked about, the bill, with the bill change that the patient receives, my expectation is that the bills that people receive for services in the hospital won't change significantly. I don't think that, you know, over in Willits and Ukiah, the amount that they bill for a service is pretty much in keeping with us. Now, if we had affiliated with Sutter, then I think that would be a different story. I think Sutter's charge master is quite a bit higher, and of course that has drawn a lot of attention in the news media over the years, because they do have a very high charge master. But ours is pretty much in keeping currently with Adventist Health, and so I don't think that there would be a significant difference there. I think what people will see, however, and this gets to some of the benefits of the affiliation, is first of all, the name is probably going to change. I don't know, but it'll probably be a new name. Signage will be different. And I think that Adventist Health will put in some money for a facelift, you know, make it look a little spiffier, a little less shabby in the rooms and whatnot. One of the huge benefits, I believe, that people are absolutely going to experience is in terms of their experience of service. Adventist Health, especially in Ukiah and Willits, have put a tremendous amount of effort into patient and family satisfaction. And Willits has achieved some of the highest patient satisfaction scores in California. Mm-hmm. And even nationally. And it's because of the approach that they take. And so I really think that we're going to have a huge improvement in patient and visitor satisfaction to the clinics as well as the hospital. Other benefits that we will absolutely experience, they have a much deeper leadership bank, if you will, to draw upon. And so I think that their ability to deal with management challenges is going to be much better than what we're coping with currently. And also, by affiliating with a larger system, and this doesn't have to be a Venice Health, a larger system, they're going to have a lot of resources to bring to bear on quality and safety. And of course, quality and safety are paramount issues for all hospitals. So I think that we're going to really see an improvement in the quality, safety, and patient satisfaction across the board.
Okay, and with that, we're speaking with Dr. William Miller out of Fort Bragg. He's a hospitalist there. Regarding Measure C, the ballot measure that would, maybe you could state it even clearer than I could.
The measure is to allow the healthcare district to enter into a lease agreement with Adventist Health, in which Adventist Health will lease for 30 years the hospital, the clinics, the ambulance service, and home health.
Got it. And so if you have a question regarding that for Dr. Miller, the number to call in is 707-895-2448. That gets you into the studio here at KZYX, which is what you're tuned to. We've got about 20 minutes left in the show. This is the Mind Body Health Program with Dr. Marvin Trotter, who's a doctor for Adventist Health over in Ukiah. My name's Cobb. I'm engineering in the studio here. And with that, the number to call in is 895-2448. And we have a caller right off the gun there. Welcome to Mind Body Health. You're live on the radio.
Hello. I wonder why you haven't discussed the Stone Point affiliation that is between Adventist and the MCDH Measure C, which solves a lot of the outstanding issues regarding the faith-based hospital and the abortion issue.
Okay, thanks for the question.
Excellent for reminding me to mention that on the ballot, you'll see that this is an affiliation with something called Stone Point Health. Stone Point Health is merely a subsidiary corporation solely owned by Adventist Health. And for all intents and purposes, the affiliation is with Adventist Health. The reason why they are using a subsidiary is because of the fact that we're a unionized hospital, and not all of their hospitals are unionized. So if you understand labor law, which I don't, but one thing I do understand is that an entity cannot hire half their employees to be unionized and half to be non-union if they're all doing the same job. So how Adventist Health and other hospital systems get around that is by having a subsidiary, and so all the hospitals that have unionized labor are affiliated through that subsidiary, and those that don't are affiliated directly through Adventist Health. There are some, and by the way, Adventist Health is committed through Stone Point to maintaining the current relationship with the union, and all those employees will just be folded over, and there'll have to be at some point a new negotiation, but I'm sure that'll go smoothly. But interestingly, as the caller points out, that actually does create a buffer between the Seventh-day Adventist Church and Adventist Health and then Stone Point in our facility, and I do believe that additional layer of buffering does help to create some distance, some arm length distance when it comes to some of these issues like abortion. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, of course, opposes abortion, and I respect that. But thank you for pointing that out.
Good point. And isn't Clear Lake? I think Clear Lake is a Adventist hospital that has a union. They've done this before.
Is there any word from the union for the hospital out there on whether or not they support this measure?
I believe that they do, but I don't know. I can't speak for them. The hospital is unionized through a Safeway grocery store, which is a little bit of an unusual model. I believe that we're the only healthcare group of employees in that union.
Got it. And just to be clear, KZYX did look for opposed voices to Major C. Obviously, Dr. Marvin Trotter, part of Adventist Health, is for Major C, as is our guest today. But they weren't able to find anyone willing to speak on the record against it. So if somebody wants to come forward, time will be made available for opposing viewpoints on Major C. And you could reach out to KZYX through their staff office. Again, that's 895-2324, or through the web, kzyx.org. You could reach out to their news department, etc., and they'll definitely... part of the FCC regulations require that they make time available to an opposing viewpoint, and they've already made that effort, just for a point of clarity there. In the meantime, we have another caller on the line. Go ahead with your question. You're live on the radio.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Miller, for all this information. I just wanted to say that women are choosing to go elsewhere for labor and delivery because the hospital has been threatening to close labor and delivery for about 4 years. And if we made a commitment to keep labor and delivery open, our numbers would more than double, probably triple. Every hospital, as you both know, lose money on labor and delivery because they're not paid for cost as they are for, like, new knees or hips. So labor and delivery is kept open as a community service and supported by other more robust departments in most hospitals. The trip to Ukiah from the coast is a minimum of 1.5 hours and easily could be 2 to 3 hours if a car is available, if the roads are open. It really is life or death. Why are you not fighting to keep labor and delivery open when so many other departments at our hospital are losing money as well? Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
So as I said earlier, the question that the district is facing is certainly a challenging one, and as you know, having participated in a number of those conversations, the medical staff and administration at the hospital have been looking at this question for going on 3 years now, and we do believe that a alternative model of stabilization and transfer is an appropriate option for the district to be considering, and I know that that's what they're considering now. I don't believe a decision has been firmly made, but if you're interested, you should certainly go to those district board meetings, and that is certainly being discussed currently as a big topic.
And so, is that something that, I don't know if the right term is at risk, but will the labor and delivery department be closed if this measure passes? Is that a likely?
I don't think that these two are really tied together. I think that the viability of the hospital is being challenged by the $2.1 million a year loss,
right,
regardless of whether we affiliate or not. The district, at its last meeting, as Ms. Jessica Grinberg stated, is taking the track of, look, we're going to assume that the affiliation does not occur and make decisions as if it doesn't occur, because that's the only fiscally responsible way to approach it. And that's what they're doing.
Okay. We have another caller. Welcome to Mind Body Health. You're live on the radio.
Hi, is that me?
Yes. Go ahead with your question.
Good morning. Yes, I have two questions. Number one, abortion, the operation is painless. No anesthesia is required. There are cramps afterwards, but it's very doable and it's very safe, whereas the pill is extremely, well, I have never taken the pill, but I heard from a gynecologist that it was extremely painful. It was very painful. A woman goes home and she could bleed to death. So I don't see why, well, I can hear your rationalization, but I don't agree with it. Second question is, you already have Mendocino Coast clinics saying, we have an OBGYN department that we would like to grow. We are already paying for a gynecologist, an OBGYN. Why can't you give us until the end of the year to strengthen our program? Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, well, I can't really speak to the first issue because I'm an internal medicine hospitalist, and I don't have experience with either of those two scenarios, the surgical abortion or the medical abortion. I have spoken with the physician who prescribes the medication, and it sounds to me from her description that it is well tolerated and safe. I don't think she would be prescribing something that she felt was risky to patients. We don't do the surgical abortion here and haven't, as I said earlier, in 5 years. Those people who do wish that still have that option, and currently they are referred to facilities over in Ukiah or Santa Rosa that do that procedure. So that procedure is still an option. And we are definitely trying, as far as your second question, we do want to partner with MCC, and they do have an excellent clinic, and we are working with their CEO, Lucretia, to come up with a plan with regard to labor and delivery and the delivery of women health services that has the least financial impact on that clinic. But obviously they are a separate entity from the hospital, and our primary responsibility has to be the viability of the hospital.
And I just want to say, you know, from my experience talking about this issue in my capacity at Adventist Hospital, they have no desire to close L&D. It's not the hospital wants to have close L&D to somehow benefit Ukiah. If Fort Bragg had a viable L&D program, they're happy to have it. It isn't something that Adventist wants or doesn't want to have happen.
Okay, we have another call. Welcome to Mind Body Health. You're live on the radio. Go ahead with your question. Well, we don't have them there. If you lost the call right back. The number to call is 707-895-2448. We have about 10 minutes left. You're tuned in to KZYX. This is the Mind Body Health Show with Dr. Marvin Trotter, and our guest today is Dr. William Miller from Fort Bragg. We're discussing the issue of Measure C on the ballot for the hospital district out in Fort Bragg on whether or not to lease their services to Adventist Health. Welcome to Mind Body Health. You're live on the radio.
Yes, hello. I'd like to make a comment, but I'd also like to ask a question. I'm here in Willits. I'm a mother of seven. I've had three kids at home, and I've had the rest in the hospital. And it's imperative that we not lose our labor and delivery services on the coast. It's too far to travel in labor from, you know, Fort Bragg or Albion to Ukiah or to, you know, there's no labor and delivery, which I don't understand why we don't have one here at the new Howard Hospital.
Is that your question?
No, just a minute, please. That old Howard Hospital is for sale for under $300,000. And when I hear you talk about spiffing up and remodeling and making the Coast Hospital better, but yet you're not, the number one reason to have a hospital is for labor and delivery. Mothers cannot travel in labor, in a car, you know, over a mile, you know, an hour and a half in, you know, confined. I have a friend who had their baby in the car. It's not safe. You're jeopardizing both the health of the mother and the child.
So, caller, in the interest of time, can you get your question out?
My question is, we've got to fight for the labor and delivery. And if it's necessary to coordinate with a gynecologist in the women's center over there, then that's necessary. But we cannot lose our hospital services to the women and the youth and the elders either. We've got to save the hospital.
Can you get us your question, caller?
The cosmetics are the services.
I'm going to cut you off in 30
seconds. What about coordinating with getting the old Howard Hospital and mental health? The mental health monies, our mental health is at stake. And that's, you know, they've got $10 million in you know, savings. To buy the old Howard Hospital and turn that into labor and delivery for the local or for, you know, some kind of coordination between the three hospitals and the PUP unit, the old hospital in Ukiah.
So I'm cutting that caller off just because we're running out of time. Nothing personal against the caller there. But to formulate a question out of that, to me, it sounds like, how can people follow up with Adventist Health overall in the county about the, you know, the choices they're making or the services that they want to keep countywide? Beyond this major C discussion, it sounds like they're concerned with, like, hey, they're going to go and move into this hospital and work on that. Meanwhile, why isn't Adventist Health improving services inland or something like that? Do you have any answer to that or know how someone could follow up with that? Maybe Marvin, that's a good question for you.
There's community boards for both Adventist hospitals in Willits and Ukiah that you can go present to or argue with, or that's where I would start, the community boards.
The challenge that I would just quickly say that the challenges that the hospitals face in rural settings throughout the United States means that difficult choices are having to be made across the country, and labor and delivery units are closing across the country. This is not something that's unique to us, and some of those have greater distances than an hour and a half to get to an L&D area. So
that's a whole topic. It's a whole huge topic.
Yeah, and in fact, I know that you just had such a show recently, in which John Allison and Tanya Smart were both interviewed for half an hour on this very topic. Some of the callers that are calling in now called in at that time as well, I believe. So maybe we can focus in the few minutes remaining on the affiliation, because that's the real reason why we're having this show today.
So we'll take one more question, and then maybe we can get some contact information and follow-up information out there for people that want to do further research. Welcome to Mind Body Health. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. So my issue with Adventist is my only personal experience with Adventist was some services I had at the clinic in Fort Bragg. And my problem with it was in the billing. The billing was so screwed up. I mean, first I got a bill for a bill I had already paid. And then I got another bill 19 months after the services that were based on a very complicated, thing. I get Medicare, so, it was a very complicated, I couldn't even figure it out.
So you're wondering how the billing's going to change?
Bill that I didn't even know that I was expecting. So my issue is, if the sorts of administrative billing services are being looked into, and whether that's a general problem. I've heard other people with complaints like that, and that's a concern that I have with the Adventist. So
I think that there's a lot of questions you can have about billing, some other things that I think that are legitimate concerns. I think the issue in front of the people is whether or not you want to continue as an independent hospital or affiliate with Adventist. And I think that's the big issue to Measure C. I think that you can go and argue for more L&D. You could argue for more outpatient surgeries or a better MRI or better billing services. I think those are all important things. But the issue about Measure C is whether you want to continue to be independent or do you want to affiliate with Adventist Hospital.
Well, and are there any major billing changes that you're aware of that are going to happen for customers out on the coast?
Well, I don't know. I imagine that there will be changes in the sense that Adventist will have its own system of billing that it'll put into place. I don't know that it'll be any better or worse than what we've got now. But I think Dr. Trotter is right. The Measure C issue is whether or not we are going to affiliate with an outside hospital system, in this case, Adventist Health. And every system is going to have challenges. I mean, if we were talking about Sutter Health right now, then people would be calling in telling us about their experiences with Sutter Health. Every system has its pros and cons. But the real bottom line here is that we have a relationship that we can enter into now with Adventist Health. And as Dr. Trotter points out, the future of the hospital is in question. I personally, this is my personal feeling, is that if we don't affiliate, there's a high likelihood that the hospital will close, and will close within 6 to 12 months. And I'm not trying to be fear-mongering, but that is my concern. And my concern is for the well-being of people who live here on the coast.
So we're coming up on the end of the hour, and from my understanding from earlier in the program, it sounded like what you did say regarding billing is that right now the coast rates are comparable to Adventist Health inland, and you don't have any expectation that that should change in a significant way.
That is my understanding, correct.
Got it.
And most of this billing goes through Medi-Cal and Medicare, 80% of it, which is already fixed. There isn't a way to change
right.
that.
And to be fair, the whole billing thing in healthcare in general is a nightmare nationwide.
Right.
And we all, if we're paying attention to this show, we hear from you quite a bit on that subject, Marvin.
Sometimes I've mentioned that.
So that's a bit beyond even Major C some days. So having said that, we only have a couple minutes left in the program. How can people look up this measure? I know they can go to the county government website to read the language of the measure. But where can they find out more information leading up to the election?
The hospital website also has information.
Okay, and what's... What do they search for? Mendocino Coast District
Hospital? Mendocino Coast District Hospital.
Okay.
I would do that search, and I believe our Facebook page also has some information as well.
Any other information for further research on that?
There was also a presentation. It was a two-hour-long presentation. I've done nine of these presentations along the coast in the last 3 or 4 months, and one of them was recorded. This one was done at the Fort Bragg City Council meeting, and you can go to their website and actually view the whole recording.
Got it. And with that, we're coming right up on a hard break here at the radio. Susan Jewell's not going to be in with Loose Cannon Classics, but do stay tuned for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra coming right up in about 5 seconds on KZYX. Thanks for tuning in.